is it those who invite him? Let them in. Let the Lord in your heart right now. For those of you that have not surrendered yet, let them in your heart. Those of you that pushing back at his word, refusing to listen to him, refusing to accept him as personal savior, refusing not to let him be your God. He's only visiting with those who's given him an open invitation. He's only visiting those who's opening up the door of their heart. Will you let him in? Will you let him in? He's knocking at the door right now as we speak. If you can visualize a gentleman knocking at your front door, will you let him in? He ain't pushing his way in. He's gonna wait till you invite him in. When you invite Jesus in your heart, you are actually allowing him to surrender everything you in control of. If you in control of anything in your life, you haven't invited him in. If you are in your own way, you haven't let him in yet. Let Jesus in your heart. For those of you who know him as Jesus, some of us know him as Yahshua. Let him in. Over in Revelation, he says, if any man open up the door of their heart, I will come in and sup with him. In other words, I will come in and fellowship with him. I will come in and break bread with him. You have a whole lot of people on your guest list, but Jesus is not one of them. Have you taken the time out to kind of look over your guest list and find out, do you want to check off this individual? Yeah, let him in. Let him in. Let the Lord in. He's even asking the question, will you let me in? There's some people who said, well, I already gave my life to Jesus. No, that's not the same thing. Sometimes you can still be in control, even though you let him in, which means you haven't surrendered in that department. When you don't surrender, you're really telling him no. Without saying, will you say yes to Jesus right now? Do you have a yes in your heartbeat? It ain't easy saying yes, but for some reason, it's easy saying no. For some of you. I want to say yes to Jesus. Yes. Pastor, I want to say yes to Jesus. Those of you who are on Zoom, have you even given the opportunity to say yes to him and invite your Savior in? Yes. He can't save you unless you invite him in. Yes, sir. He can't save you. He can't save you. He can't deliver you unless you invite him in. He just want to walk through the threshing hole of your heart. It's just imagine that you are on the outside of your door. Just imagine that. Let me visualize, because some people need visualization. Just imagine if you on the outside of your, rather you on the inside of your home. And here you have a gentleman knocking right now. Softly. He's not trying to get the neighbor's attention. He's just trying to get your attention. The Lord is not always coming in like an earthquake. He is coming in very subtle. He's knocking at the door of your heart. Will you let him in? Some of you got so many problems in your life and you haven't even given Jesus an opportunity. But the difference is you praying. You praying and you saying, Lord, when is it going to end? The Lord said, just invite me. Will you let me in your heart? Will you let me down in your soul? Will you let me in your home? Can I ask you, can I get a little personal? Can you let me in your temple? The Lord bled for you. You're talking about the death, burial, resurrection. He bled for you. He bled for you. He bled for you. Can you visualize the bleeding? The bleeding. You watch horror movies all the time and you see the grossness of how the blood comes through somebody after they get thrust. The Lord said, I bled for you. And the movie can't even express it all. I bled for you. I bled for every sin you committed. I bled for every woman you slept with. I bled for every man you slept with. I bled for every cocaine you sniffed. I bled for every marijuana you inhaled. I bled for every cigarette, every nicotine, every drink, every alcohol. I bled for all of those things. I bled for you. I bled for the thoughts that you have right now. I bled for that gluttony spirit you have. I bled for that greedy spirit you have. I bled for it all. I sacrificed my life because I knew you couldn't stand for your own. I knew you couldn't pay that price. You couldn't finance it. In fact, if you would have went to the bank, the biggest bank couldn't even finance it for you. I had to do it for you. I had to bleed for you. I had to die for you. And then I had to rise for you because you couldn't get up out of your own mess. Your sin is comparable to vomit. Would you eat your vomit? Would you lick your own vomit? This is your own vomit now. I'm not talking about whether you will lick somebody else's vomit, but will you lick your own vomit? That is comparable to sin. That's what I took up for you. But not only he did it for you, Doc, not only he did it for you, Sister Courtney, but he did it for the whole entire world. He licked every person's vomit that you can think of. The person that you would turn your nose at and look beneath them, he says, I even looked down they vomit. I looked down the vomit of your enemies. I looked at every person. But the only thing is, they don't even know that I looked they vomit until they accept me as personal, personal, personal. Will you make this personal? The Lord made this personal. He died for you personally. He says, will you let me in your heart personally? Personally, I did it for you personally. Every sin, every act of sin that you broke, I did it for you. I stood in the way for you because you couldn't pay that price. That price was too much for you to pay.
Thank you, Lord.
You can never pay that debt. If you live 1,000 years, you can never, ever, ever pay that debt. Think about every act of sin that you could imagine. The things you stole. The lies you told. How you manipulated. How you cheat, scheme. How you bear false witness. How you look down that woman's skirt. How you looked at that man's... Oh, come on. Every sin you think about. The Lord took up all that vomit for you. Everything. Everything. Everything you think about. He took on that sin for you. Any people don't want to talk to you about the sins, but that's what's going to give us salvation, true salvation. And then you have to ask yourself, you're not even worthy to breathe this breath that you're breathing. We're not worthy. None of us is worthy. Not one. Not one. Not, I don't care if you look at a superhero. He or she's not worthy. With this pompous attitude and this prideful spirit we have, and this proud spirit we confess. You don't have enough. You don't have enough debt. You don't have enough money in your account to pay that debt. Ain't no fast for loan can take care of that sin. No debt, no fast for loan. I don't care if you go to Wall Street, they don't even have enough stocks and bonds to pay that debt. And here we walking around with this unforgiving spirit about us. When Jesus says, what did you do that I forgave you for your sins? You looking down at people for the sins they committed, and you thinking yours don't stink. Look at your own self. You stink too. How is it that we so easily point out everybody else's excuses, everybody else's sin, but we can't even look at our, what did the word of the Lord says? He says, cast the beam out of your own eye before you do it for your neighbor. You see everybody else's faults. You see everybody else's struggle, but you never look down on the inside of you. Why don't you take a peek at that vomit? Those of you who've had a hangover, you remember those nights that you had a hangover and you had to get all of that stuff up out of you. Because what happens is your temple couldn't even take it. It had to spit up. Everything you took, all that poison, it was mixture. And it contaminated the temple. And your head was spinning. Yes. I'm thinking about that. Visualize that for a moment. That is sin. That is replica to sin. The vomit that's on the inside of you. See, people think sin is sweet, smells good when you're doing it, but it has a stench to it. And the Lord said in Matthew, he says, I'd rather for you to be hot or cold. Because if you lukewarm, I screw you up like vomit. He used that parallel to vomit on the inside of you. He says, I'd rather for you to be at least hot or cold. I could deal, but if you got these lukewarm believers, lukewarm Christians. They'll tell you the name of the church that they attend, but you don't even see no discipleship or fragrance on them. Yes, Lord. You bragging more about the name of the church you attend, but won't you brag about the person who died for you? Come on. The person who bled for you. The person who gave up his life for you. We sowing a lot, but we ain't sowing righteousness. We sowing discord, division. We sowing hatred and pride and strife and envy and murder and babbling and speaking against certain things you have no business. We doing everything but the will of God. This ain't your usual sermon. This is a life or death right now. Here and now, this is life or death. The word says, choose this day who you're going to serve. Choose this day. Who you going to serve? I ain't say what you did last week. You chose them last week, but today's another day. Yes. See, people think that their choosing is based on credit. Just because you got saved last week, that doesn't mean you saved today. Just because you got delivered last week, don't mean you delivered today. The word says, choose this day whom you gonna serve. The word says, it goes on further, he says, choose this day who we're going to serve. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. As for me and my house, I can't speak for what my spouse doesn't do or don't do. That house doesn't mean the children either. You know what the house means? Your temple. You can't get saved off your grandfather's merit on how he attend church and how he served. You can't do it through grandmama neither. You can't. That's not your past. Choose this day who you're going to serve. We know how to serve our jobs without anybody telling us. We know how to pay those bills without anybody telling us. We know how to buy sneakers without anybody telling us. As soon as it's advertised, you out in the line. But Jesus is right here on the line as well. And he's saying, here I am. Am I not enough? Am I not good enough for you? Jordans. Jesus. Jordans. Jesus. Two J's, but we're picking the wrong J. Those of you who idolize your sneakers, your outfits, that's the one he had to vomit it up for. See, people think sin is unattractive. Sin is attractive. That's why we do it easily. If you're unattractive with something, you're not going to do it, correct? If you see a good looking woman, you're not going to want it. You don't have no desire for her because she's not attractive to your eyes. Nobody want to talk about that. No, see, they want to play around and hide and hide. It's hiding time. No, it's time to get exposed for where things are. Because if you was to take your last breath, can I ask you a question? Seriously, all jokes aside. Now, how long you been in church? I'm not asking that. Now, how much tithes and offering you've given. Now, how much you told people you love. Now, how many times you honored your mother and father. That's not what I'm asking. If you breathe your last breath right now, where will you spend eternity? Are you sure that you will make it in? I mean, honestly, are we even sure that we will make it in into the eternal life? Can you guarantee that for me? Guarantee that. Honestly, guarantee it. Don't base it on somebody else's merit or somebody else's credit. Guarantee me right now, if you take your last breath, where will you spend eternity? Have you done everything in stand? Have you done everything that you can think about? You know, there was a song that says, if you have 24 hours to live, where would you do? Where would you go? Who would you be? But let me just kind of minimize them 24 hours. What if you got 1 minute left? That's 60 seconds. You only have 60 seconds to live. Where would you spend your last 60 seconds? And please do not tell me you're going to go to your children and tell them how much you love them. Because if you didn't do that, you're in trouble. No, if I were you, because I know if I'm not going to be here much longer, I want to make sure my last days that I'm transformation from this nasty earthly world to his glorious gospel. Can you assure me, you know, people have insurance. Can you assure me that if you die right now, you drop dead right here, can you make it in? I'm talking to everybody who's listening by way of Zoom, in his house. Can you prove that you will make it in? Because Peter says, even the righteous will be scarcely make it in. Scarcely, meaning you just getting in. I'm talking to you about real salvation. This is the reason why, this is the heartbeat of why we're in church, because of salvation. Not because we're trying to make a business deal and transaction and get into some network and see what kind of shorties you can hook up with. No, the reason why we're here is because somebody sacrificed. And it wasn't your parents. And it wasn't your grandparents. It was the J that was on my left side. Jesus. Yahshua. Emmanuel. Judah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Do you know Judah means praise? Judah. No Jacksons, no Jordans can outshine Judah. Jesus. If I want to be silent, Yahshua. Are you right with Jesus right now? That 59 seconds just dwindled down to 5 seconds. Now you got 5 seconds. You're going to be so prideful that you don't want to give your life to Jesus. And now just giving your life, making a confession with your own mouth and believing that he did die for you. I ain't talking about how long you've been in church. I'm not talking about how much you did in the church. I'm not talking about how much you gave. I'm not even talking about the attendance you have. I'm talking about, are you letting him in your heart right now? He want to be Savior. He want to be Lord. Aren't you tired of being in control of your own life? Where is it getting you? You in the way so much. I don't want to be in the way no more, Pastor. Actually, I'm tired. And most of us that's tired, we just don't know where to begin. Here we go. I've given you the answer. Here's the antidote. Let him in. What's the message, Pastor? This is the message. Let him in. Let YouTube get on that. Let him in. Get in. Let him in your heart. Let him in your temple. Let him in your household. And after you let him in your heart, then let the chips fall where they may be. Because at that point, now you've given him reign for every area in your life. Because the first thing when you come into your house, for those of you who have foyers, he first comes into that area. And then you're giving him permission to go through all the other areas. But don't stop him at the foyer. Depending on the structure of your household, let him go further. Let him even go down to your bedchamber, where your most quiet places, your most secret places are. And let him speak directly to your heart. Don't just keep them at the front door like you did the Jehovah's Witness when they tried to enter in. And some of you used to hide from the Jehovah's Witness. Here they come. And then you try to hide because you don't want them to know you're in the house. And that's what some of us doing to Jesus right now. You don't want to let him know that you right there. Let me just hide. I don't want him to see me coming. He knows where you are. There's nothing you could get by him. Not one thing. Yo, you know a real true gangster in the street? They so street smart. They see anything that goes by. They very sharp. They see everything that goes by them. There's nothing that you can get by a gangster. I mean, I'm talking about a smart gangster. Do you imagine now, compare that to Jesus, that he can see everything you do, everything I do, everything we do. In fact, he already see what you're going to do tomorrow before you even get there, if you make it. That's not a promise, if we make it. The central reason why we have church, people, is because of Jesus died. Amen. But he didn't stay dead. He rose. He got up for everything we could not get up for on our own. So we talking about a real true superhero that was able to die and truly get up. And after he got up, he declared all power was in his hands. What? Tell me what problem you have that Jesus can't get you out from. Tell me. Can you tell me whatever issue you got going on in your life that Jesus can't bring you out? If he could die for you, bled for you, rose for you, what makes you think he can't snatch away that little crumb foolishness you got going on in your life? I'm not going to minimize his power no more. I'm only standing and I'm only breathing is because he died for my son, my sins. Somebody already won this battle. So that means to tell me I don't have to fight this battle anymore. No, you've been fighting the wrong thing. You don't have to fight that battle. The battle has already been fought. All he's asking now, just show up. Just show up. Don't go hide. This ain't the Jehovah's Witnesses knocking at your door. This is a true Savior, a true living Jesus, a Jesus, the one that died, bled for you, rose for you. Will you let him in? Will you let him in? I don't think we really let Jesus in truly in our heart, our soul, our mind, our thoughts. I don't think we know how to really let him in. That means you really surrendering everything you've been doing all this long. I mean, truly, truly, can we truly learn, know what means surrender? That means you have no control of anything. No control. I said no control. Can we really surrender to Jesus right here? I mean, really, earnestly, give it up. Like, whatever you're dealing with, whatever you're struggling with, do you know it's not going to be the laying of the hands. It's going to be you surrendering the control you have. You have too much control in your life, and that's why you struggle the way you struggle. You always want to get in the way. You always want to be in the way. You always got your own. Look, man, don't use your education and your craftiness to outsmart God. You ain't that smart, brother. You're not that smart, sister. If anything, you got to remind yourself, where do you get it from? God gave you part of his craftiness, not to use it against him. We got some wise and intelligent folk, but you're using it in the wrong manner. You're so smart. You're so wise. But you don't believe he's God. You don't believe he's holy. You don't believe that he could deliver you from the mess that you're in right now. Let him remove you from that vomit. Aren't you tired of drinking your own vomit? I don't want the vomit no more. Can you really surrender? I'm crying out to you the same way these worship leaders was crying out. You know what they were doing? They were crying out for your soul to be saved, to be delivered, and to be set free. That's what they were crying out for. If you really listened, you're so focused on the song. You're missing the meaning behind what's pushing the song out. It was a deep cry for those of you who is not in Jesus currently. For those of you who's out of the will of God right now. For those of you who breathed your last breath, you ain't making it to the kingdom of heaven. There would not be no celebration of your go. It would not be a homegoing. Because people want to cover it up with homegoing. Where you going? You ain't going home. What home you going to? You living like the way you living. Let's be truthful at these funerals. Tell people the truth. There's no home going. Teach us, teach us. You want to pacify for the family so you don't step on nobody's toes. Man, you're going straight to the pit of hell. That's where you would spend eternity if you don't accept Jesus as your personal Savior and you don't stop living like a wretched life that you're living. That's where you're going to go. That's your eternal damnation right there. You want to come to, this is what church is, this is the centralization of the church. It's Jesus. He is the church. We are the church. It's not the building. It's you. Wherever you go, you represent him. I got all these traditions in this. Man, my grandfather, they raised me up in church. And, yeah, but what are you doing now? They did that because they knew the word. Train the child up in the way they should go so they won't depart. I believe some of you departed. I want to surrender. I really want to surrender to Jesus right now. I feel like I'm ahead of my schedule for the 10th service. I mean, because this is exactly what we need to hear. Straight off the bat, we want to give a nice flowery speech. No, I want to tell you about heaven and hell. Where you will spend eternity if you lose your life today. We got so much garbage in our lives, man. I don't think we really surrender in Jesus. We got so much going on in our home. We got all excuses. What's not right? What's not right? How much bills I got to pay? How much I got to go to work? How much I need to attend school? And I got this going on. And my boss want me to do that. And I got to do this. And my children expecting me to do that. And my wife expecting me to do this. No, what Jesus is expecting you to do. We got all the stuff going on in the world, but we don't have no room for Jesus. Everybody, you put every person ahead of Jesus. He's still waiting at the line. He's still in the back of the line waiting. Like when you at that shoe store waiting for your favorite shoes. He's still in the back of the line. But the problem is he didn't get his pair of shoes yet. Oh my God. He didn't get his pair of shoes at all. He's still waiting on the back. Patiently though. Some of you used to spend a night at those stores waiting for the doors to open, hoping that you get them sneakers. And see, Jesus is still standing. He's standing at the line right now, right now. He's a gentleman. If it wasn't the shoe store, it was them clubs. You was lined up at that club, waiting to get your turn, hoping that the capacity will allow you to get in, where the bouncer was right in the front. You was waiting on that line. And here, Jesus is standing here right now saying, will you let me in your heart right now? Will you let me in your soul right now? See, some of you think you got all the time in the world and you can play around with this. You know all God got to do is remove breath from you. Just like that. You playing around with all these idols that have no association with God. You playing around with all these demons because they're attracted to you. So you petting them real good. That's what I mean by truly surrendering. Anything that you got in your household, you ought to burn it. That don't look like God. Everything that's not associated with Christ, you ought to burn it. You know what burning means? Meaning it don't have any life. When you burn it, you are burning it from the roots. So with the hopes that it ain't coming back again. Search your temple. If it's something that looks like, you know yourself, you know yourself more than anybody. You know your struggle, you know your weaknesses, you know some of the things you struggle with. Check your heart. Like, man, you know I got to change this. No, but let me tell you something now. You will never be able to change it on your own. You don't have enough power. You don't have enough strength. You don't have enough money. You can't pay that price by yourself. You need Jesus to come and take care of it because you're going to keep making excuses saying you're going to do this and you're not going to be able to do it. I promise you, you will never accomplish that.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Y'all got goals, but you're not pursuing it the proper way. You need to get Jesus on board with your goals. Some of you got plenty of goals. Can you know he will let you get there and you still not successful? Because you know why? You left the one person out of the quotation, out of the equation, and that was Jesus. You left him out, the main ingredient. The same person that's sitting in the back of the line waiting to get his shoes. The same person that's waiting to get in the club. Oh, because I haven't mentioned your story yet. You think you don't exist. Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. Yeah. God said, yeah. See, you know what? This is the mind of a sinner. He didn't say nothing to me, so I guess it don't apply to me. But what happens is, let me tell you, I'm from New York, right? And I don't know what happens here. They open up the liquor store by 12 noon. Okay. Now let me get to your line. You was waiting at that store before it opened up because you couldn't wait to drink that drink. And you standing at the line, hoping this man see you. Hoping you. Matter of fact, you trying to base it off last week's relationship because he saw you there. He still ain't opening up the door because he's following the rules. Based on what? The store hours. But you were sitting there waiting for him to unlock that door. I know y'all call it ABC here. Oh, up north, they call it the liquor store. And you wait at that line because you couldn't wait today. You couldn't wait. You could not wait. You see the urgency you have for something you really, really wanted? Why our love can't be for Jesus that way? Amen. Why? Do you know... Do you know the way you grieve of someone who hurt you, disappointed you? It's the same way he's grieving for your life right now. Because he knows deep down inside. Can I tell you about Jesus? Just a little bit about him. People don't realize where he's doing right now. They probably say, oh, he's just sitting down doing nothing, waiting for the earth to end. He is sitting at the right side of the Father. You know what he's doing? He's making intercession on your behalf as we speak. In other words, let's think about, can I give you a visual? Okay. Give me this here. Give me one volunteer real quickly. Somebody, come on, quickly. Give me one volunteer. Okay, good. Thank you. She's representing God. I'm representing Jesus. Whatever's going on the earth, the Father is ready to kill right now. He's ready to destroy right now. He's ready to take your life right now. But do you know what Jesus do? Father, remember, I bled for them. Look at the nail prints on my hands. He has to remind the Father because the Father is a just God. So he's reminding him, look what I did for them. Look at the nail prints in my hands. So every act of disobedience, every act of sin, this is what Jesus is constantly has to do. He has to remind the Father, Lord, don't do it yet. Jesus. Give him another chance. Jesus. And so let me get another chair. Somebody come over here real quickly, real quickly. One volunteer. And so while Jesus is praying right here, he says, let me give him another chance. Here's the Holy Spirit right here. Say, I can help them. So the Holy Spirit is roaming the earth right now, trying to keep them from going into the... And so the Father's like, oh, no, I'm sorry. Y'all out. I'm going to stay right here. I made up my mind. I'm ready to kill them. Jesus says, no, Father. I die for them. I bled for them. I gave my life for them. And the Father's like, no, let me take them out. They don't know what you've been through. They don't know the hours of the beating and the suffering. And the bleeding and the spitting. Do you know they spit on him? They spit on Jesus. They spit on him. They mocked him. And here we playing around like we got all the time in the world. The Father is like, no, let me kill them. Jesus says, no, Lord, please do not do that. Give them another chance. Holy Spirit says, no, no, no. Let me help them. I can empower them to live right. Because they can't do it on their own. So the Holy Spirit got to be there in power to buffer some stuff because they can't stand. Man, shucks. What do I need to do here? You have an awesome advocate in Jesus praying right now. He is your attorney. Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. That's like having an attorney already on a payroll. Most of us ain't got enough money to keep a lawyer on a payroll. But here you got Jesus, Yahshua, Emmanuel, Judah. He is your intercessor for the earth. And the Holy Spirit is the one that keeps us when we don't want to be kept. When we got those temptations and the urges to go back and do the sin, we know the Holy Spirit will give you the power and the strength to refrain from it. We can't do this by ourselves. We cannot live holy by ourselves. So we need the Holy Spirit to help us. Because if we don't, the Father is going to take us out. Take us out. Give me a brother. Give me a hand. Give me a hand. There we go. That's right. See the hand that I needed? That's the hand you need. Because you can't get up by yourself from this. Now, here's the invitation. I reenact everything that you had no awareness of, that this is what Jesus, he's just not sitting around clipping his fingers, polishing his toes. He is sitting at the right side of the Father, making intercessions for you.
Thank you.
But the one thing they cannot outpray, brother, I'm just using an example. The one thing Jesus can never outpray is your will. Oh, Lord, think about this now. Think about this, brother. He can do everything. There's no weakness to him. But there's one prayer that he can never get through. It's your going against your will. Because you have a will. You have a will. You have a will. All of you on Zoom, you have a will. You have a will. I have a will. Last week you had a will to be saved. This week you have no will to be saved. Last year you joined the church. This year you have no intentions of joining nobody's church because you have a will. So Jesus cannot override your will. And because the Father of who he is, he knows. Because it's one of the things Jesus don't know. He don't know when the end of time is coming. He doesn't know when the Father is getting ready to send him back down here. He doesn't know that. But the Father knows ahead they are going to still do what they're going to do. So he's already saying, just let me kill him. Let me take him out. The only reason why Jesus is being heard is because he did something. He sacrificed. He bled. He took the beating and the torture for 11 hours, got arrested illegally. That's the real salvation. While we in church, we got so focused on our branded name that we forgot the reason. And Christmas is not the reason. Let me get all that straight with some of you, all idolizing Christmas and putting Santa Clauses on your tree. That is a form of idolizing. I don't care how you want to slice and dice it. If you want to be truthful here, let me get a little deep with some of you. Some of you don't even have no idea. It was Nimrod who birthed Christmas because he was an evil hunter before the God. And so what he did was he formed this idol as a tree. How did Jesus get mixed up in that?
Teach us.
December 25th is not his birthday, people. And the sad part about it, you got the Christian faith celebrating what Nimrod did. Man, sucks. Truthfully, Jesus was born right around the springtime. Not December 25th. And we talking about the reason for the season. And we got this big old fat, oh God, and sitting on the tree. It's just a marketing tool. So you get you to spend more money.
Hallelujah.
You know what's so sad though? He get us to spend money we don't have. No. If God wants you to spend money, no, he would give you provisions.
Yes.
Remember I told you last week? He would never ask you to do something he can't provide for you.
Hallelujah.
And some of you got so stressed out. How are we going to make Christmas work? How we gonna get this money for these gifts, and how we gonna take care of you? Oh God, man, why is it that we don't unbow Jesus? That's the best gift. I'm challenging every last one of you. Those of you, we got like 2 seconds right now. I'm calling it 2 seconds because I think I might have ministered 59, 60 seconds. Let's just deal with this 1 second right now. Our life is taken right now. Where are we going to spend eternity? Is there anything in your life that's associated with the devil? Is there anything in your temple or your household or anything that's affiliated with Satan himself? If there's anything, that's the lukewarm people. Let me get real. Let me strip all your things down in your mind. Everything that you got in your house, everything that you're doing, you got that throw up right ready to come up. He's got that lukewarm people right here. I believe 90% of the churches is lukewarm. Lukewarm people don't have to go for martyr. They don't die. Not for the cause of Christ. Only 10%. Because we got a lot of lukewarm people right up in the church. Got the verbiage, hallelujah, blessed, I'm highly favored. I'm doing well. God is awesome. Look at my new car. Got a little raise on my... The devil could give blessings too. How do you know that, Pastor? Well, you remember Matthew, Luke 4 and Matthew 4? He told Jesus, he says, bow down and I'll give you all of this. So that tells me he could give a blessing. Anybody want to accept Jesus as their person? I said surrender. I said truly surrender. You said, oh, I played. I already did. Surrender. I said surrender. 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 That means you have no control over your life any longer. That Jesus is becoming not just Savior, but Lord. You know what the Lord is? He's overseeing your apartment, your home. He's the Lord. He's the Lord of the land. Surrender. Surrender. Whatever you got part of you, your business, your family, your job, your extracurricular activities, surrender. Surrender. Nothing gets in the way with Jesus. He should be first and foremost. Jesus. You got me sweating here. Yeah, I'm going to keep sweating because, see, somebody died. This sweat ain't going to hurt me. Somebody died. Pastor, you going to have this funeral because my family member, you want me to tell the truth? What they say? What do you want me to say about that person? What do you want me to say? You know, what can I say? Well, Pastor, I mean, you're the perfect fit. The person really loved you. Yeah, but they didn't follow my leadership. What do you want me to say? What do you want me to say about them? You want me to be truthful because you don't want me to facilitate this funeral service because you might want to slap me afterwards. Because we got this message, you're going to see him when you get onto the other side. What other side? Anybody want to give their life to Jesus? Anybody need to surrender? I'm inviting you. I'm encouraging you. Man, listen, God ain't going to make you because one thing I just told you before, Jesus, one thing he cannot override is your will. So So if you die and lose your soul, it will be nobody's fault but your own. Not your grandmama, not your grandfather. You can't blame your mama. You can't blame your daddy. You can't blame nobody, because the Lord's going to say, no. Don't even go there with me. Because what I believe, when it comes down to it, he's going to show you a record on a teleprompter. It says, look at, remember this day? Look at that date. You remember? What's the day?
October 19th.
Oh, you remember October 19th? 12 noon? Do you remember? Do you remember? This is the day that he offered salvation and you didn't accept it. He's going to look at that. He's going to show you everything you've done in your life. Did you surrender? Did you surrender that activity, that ungodly activity in your life? Because some people say, I gave my life, but this is something you need to surrender. There's something, somebody in here, it may be most of us in here, shoot, probably all of us up in here, that need to surrender something that you know that's associated and is not your daddy. Surrender. I need everybody to bow their head and close their eyes, because they're focusing on some of the things that they probably think that they shouldn't get rid of. Don't justify those behaviors, son. Don't justify it, my daughter. Don't justify them. Give it up. Surrender it. If you don't, it's going to be stripped away from you. Surrender it. Surrender it. Surrender it. You got control in your life. You too aggressive. You got unforgiveness. Surrender it. That's the thing the Lord's saying. I'm not going after just your soul. I'm going after the things that's associated. Surrender. 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 I got people who watching me. They probably say, this is not a usual message. This is the best message you probably going to ever hear the whole year. Surrender to Jesus. Give your life to him. And follow the plans that God has purposed for you on this earth. Your life and my life, our lives is not guaranteed. And so for those of you who are praying for their family members, there's one thing you cannot override, their will. You're waiting for them to get right. No, God says, see, that's your problem right there. They're never going to get it right until they're ready to get it right. I'm still praying for them, but I'm also praying for you that you don't get in the way with my perfect will for their life. And I got some people, they crying out for their family members and their loved ones, and they praying and they praying and they praying and they praying. You know why nothing being answered? Because they got a will. They got a will, and their will is where they want to be right now. So if any of you, don't be disappointed because your loved one ain't getting saved, they're not coming out, it's because they got a will. It's just as simple as that. They have a will. But just don't let their will override your will. Anybody want to need to surrender to Jesus right now? Confess your soul. Confess it. I mean, earnestly confession that you just laying before the Lord. I'm telling you, Lord, I need this. Lord, I need this. Lord, I need this. Lord, help me. I can't do this without you. Lord, I got so many excuses in my life. I keep doing it my way. I keep getting in my own way. I keep doing it my way. I keep getting in my own way. I keep doing it my way. I keep getting in my way. In my way, in my way, in my way, in my way, in my way. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody can come to the Father but by me. I have some of you on Zoom. No, you need to give your life to Jesus. Matter of fact, I can believe this. This is what he's doing right now. I hope you can hear this through my microphone. This is what he's doing right now. He's knocking at the door of your heart. I'm glad you did that, because that's what he's doing. Because this is right now, he's trying to get people out of their mess, out of their vomit. He's trying to get people out of their vomit. He's knocking at the door of your heart. Once you let him in. You know, you want a person to stop knocking? Open up the door. He's been knocking for years. You know what? Can I give you a little secret? You didn't hear it before because it wasn't detrimental. The reason why you're hearing it even louder now is because your life is on the line. Your soul is on the line. The reason why it's louder now is because he has no other alternative but hope, with the hopes that he can get your attention. I'm calling for surrender. You, your soul, your mind, your body. You know, the conference, mind, body, and soul, that y'all were all, that's all of that. That's all we have. That's all we have, brother. That's really all we have. And this is what the devil wants. Yes. This is the most prized possession. Yes. He don't want the new car. Jesus. He don't want your new car. Please. He wants your soul. I look at it as the life is a game, a chess game. He's betting God that he could take your soul. The same way he betted God that Job will fall. There's a deal for your soul. There's a deal for your soul, Zoom. Come to Jesus. Surrender. I'm only following the will of God. Y'all probably saying, when is the message started? The message has already started. Surrender. Come to Jesus. Come just the way you are. Please, I'm doing what Jesus is doing. Father, give him another chance. I'm the person on the earth that Jesus is like, just keep, you pray, son. I'm praying to the Father. Holy Spirit is keeping him in the meantime. So we got some agreement on the earth. I need change. I need really, really deliverance in my heart. Soul. If it's something that's erupting in you right now, that means it's you. The Holy Spirit knows how to make himself visible to you to know that that's me knocking at that door. I'm crying out for you because I have a great cry going on the inside. Just because you don't see the tears is because I know where your soul stands right now. You ain't too young to go to hell. There's no age limit. Where will you spend eternity? Just pretend that I got the black cats on for sale right now. Y'all, some of y'all don't know what the black cats mean. That's what Reggie Miller classified Michael Jordan as in the 98 playoffs. He called him the black cat. Those are the Jays that's scheduled to come out within the next few weeks to months. Guarantee you it's going to be a line. Guarantee you. I bet on it. But I got another line. His line is Jesus, salvation, surrender. One thing about a black cat, they smart, they sneaky, they wise. They you don't see them coming out of nowhere. They just appear. Salvation is knocking at your door. Don't fight me. I gave you the illustration. I believe that's enough. You saw a movie played out. Jesus sitting at the right side. The Father ready to kill. You know who else is ready to kill? Satan. I believe, if I can look at it this way, I believe while Jesus is on the right side, Satan is like, go ahead, Father, go ahead and do it. Go ahead. Let me get him. Let me take him. Let me get him. They worthless. Let me get him. They worthless. Let me get him. Told you they weren't going to get it right. Let me get him. Satan is hoping that you don't give your life to Jesus. He's hoping that he can continue to use you the way he's been using you. He is hoping, he's betting. Y'all know how to play dice? Snake eyes is your life. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you. I'm praying for that soul right now. Father, may you turn their hearts over to you. I know I can't override their will, God. I can't override their will. Jesus can't override their will. You being God, supreme being, you can't even override their will. Because one thing you did was you gave man free choice, free will. How many of you are really ashamed that you feel like I can't surrender this? Because you're thinking too much in yourself. I tried to explain to you, you can't surrender on your own. It's the Holy Spirit that has to help you. He's the helper on the earth. Pastor, I need prayer. No, you need surrender. Pastor, can I talk to you on the side? No. When you get married, you do it openly, don't you? The same way you're going to do with Christ, openly. I'm not doing no private, no. You're going to do this, you're going to do it right. Can I chat with you? Can I have a Monday night counseling session? Can I schedule an exam? No. This is it right here. This is it right here. We're not doing no schedule behind the scenes. No, we're going to do this right. Surrender. I'm going to say this again. Surrender. I'm calling to you, surrender. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen.